Could the trauma of war lead to an everlasting spirit? Have you ever had such consistent, vivid nightmares that it made you disdain going to sleep? What lengths would you go to disprove what you've experienced? Today, we test the believability of the haunted den.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. It is Tuesday again. It's warm out. It's warm up here. It's warm there. It's warm everywhere.
Except in New Zealand and Australia, it's their winter right now.
Is it?
Yeah, because they're the South Equator.
Oh.
Yeah. The world, we have summer, they have winter.
The world, the sun, it's all tricky, tricky stuff.
That's right.
But you know what it is? It is listener submission time. Ooh. Again.
For the questions, it sounds like we have another non-believer.
A skeptic, which is going to be ridiculous. When we get to the end, just like last time, we're going to get to the end and it's going to be like, but I don't know if I believe all of it. It's like, imagine like a paranormal activity where you're like, you're getting pulled and like flung around the room.
Yeah.
You get smacked against the wall.
Literally like, ghosts working on your face. Just like,
I might just be sleepwalking with the force. So we got two stories, which has kind of been our trend lately. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like an intro, shorter listener submission, and then a longer main story. These are both from like over 6 months ago.
Ooh, so they had some fermentation on them.
Yeah, they've been seasoning, or what is it called? Marinating.
Marinating.
They've been marinating in our Google Drive for 6 months.
No one wants to marinate in there.
Yeah. Also, I just want to say this now. I want to put this at the top of the episode. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, if you like this story, both of them, or just one at least. If you like at least one of these stories and you have questions, thoughts, ideas, and you're compelled by it and you want to talk about it tonight, Tuesdays, every Tuesday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, Charlie and I will be on Twitch, twitch.com/believingthebizarre for at least a half hour talking about it, answering questions, considering ideas and theories and talking about it live in real time.
Yeah, stuff that we have not thought of or we didn't think of.
Because we're too stupid.
Well, I didn't.
And I apologize for using that accent to portray that mindset. But regardless, let's dive into our first listener submission. So the first story comes to us from Nora, which takes place in Tennessee. Have you been to Tennessee?
I've been through Tennessee a couple times.
Yeah, I feel like every time I have a family vacation for Tennessee, I just end up not going. One time was because of COVID, and nobody went.
I've never been, like, I've never, like, hung out there. Just driven through.
I feel like if I did, I would run into Peyton Manning. And I'm not saying that is true, but that's what I feel.
Does he live there?
I think he went to school there.
Oh, okay. Omaha. That's not Tennessee, is it?
It's not. So, yeah, this is about Nora. And it takes up one of the three questions from earlier at the beginning of this episode. So before Nora was born, her parents, her two brothers, and her sister moved into their new home, which is where she also grew up. Shortly after moving into this house, though, is when they started seeing a dark figure. On multiple occasions, Nora's mother would wake up in the middle of the night, only to find this dark, looming shadow figure standing at the end of her bed. There's no prefacing, no background. We are just getting right into it. So I hope you're ready. One night, she woke in terror, and as they call him, the general, was so close that he wasn't just a shadow. She could actually make out what he was wearing. She could see that he was wearing a long coat with two rows of gold buttons that went down the center.
In her sounds mind, Confederate. Sorry,
you're not wrong. It was a Civil War general uniform.
Yeah.
You are correct. Yeah, so that is why they nicknamed this entity the General.
Did she say a color?
No, it's black. It was like, it was still like a shadow entity, but she could actually tell what it was wearing.
Okay, I gotcha.
Still shadowy. On a separate night, Nora's brothers had a run-in with this entity. Her brothers share a room, and since they were pretty close, they would stay up late at night just talking, shooting the breeze, basically, you know, doing whatever. But because they stayed up so late, it wasn't uncommon for their father to come by, and what he would do is, he didn't want to cause a ruckus, he just wanted to kind of hint to them, like, hey, it's time to get to bed. He would stand outside their door and just kind of signal, you know, like, it's bedtime. Like, either by his presence or just, like, you know, just being there. So one night, they were talking, and they noticed a tall shadow standing outside the door, like the bottom, the feet. The door right. was shut. And the oldest brother said, Dad, you don't need to stand by the door. We're about to go to bed. However, to her brother's surprise, they heard their father's voice, but it didn't come from the doorway. Instead, he was cleaning dishes in the kitchen, and he yelled, I'm not by y'all's door. And her brother shouted back, stop lying, we can see the shadow of your feet from under the door.
But they heard the voice coming from somewhere else.
It's probably a little shock.
Logic is out the window.
Out the window, yes. So her dad admittedly felt a little bit uneasy, but still, he was like, son, I'm in the kitchen. So this is one of the first experiences with the general that impacted more than just the mom who was waking up in the middle of the night with, you know, freaked out, scared, seeing the shadow entity. This is like one of the first times that the entire family acknowledged the presence of this entity. And for the foreseeable future, her family would feel like someone was lurking around the house, but they didn't see it as often. It was more like just this presence. So when Nora was born, this is all before Nora is born. She's non-existent yet. Spooky stuff happening. No Nora. Enter Nora. When Nora was born, her family had to renovate the house to make more room. And after all the renovations were done, there were a few years that the family even stopped feeling the presence of the general. And there was kind of like this family-wide sigh of relief, and it didn't seem like just a moment in time. It was this belief that this entity was actually gone. I don't know why that would be simultaneous with renovation.
That's weird to me, because typically renovation makes ghost activity more prominent.
Like you're disrupting where they're from.
Disrupting their normal surroundings.
Yeah, I was kind of almost expecting like that Stir of Echoes with Kevin Bacon, where it's like during the renovation, they found like the bones of someone or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen. Because for 3 years, things were actually pretty chill. But then around the time Nora turned 3, her family simultaneously began feeling a presence. And for 6 years, nothing happened. It was literally 6 years of just this gut feeling that they were not alone in the house. Like, consistent.
Ooh.
That's what makes this feel really real to me. It's not like cinematic, where it's like, you know, you watch a horror movie and it takes place over like a day or a week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a day, actually, that's believable. But like 2 weeks, everything just ramps up.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, not that I wouldn't believe this story anyway, but just the fact that it's like, you know, stuff happens and then a few months it's gone. And then for 3 years, it's this. And then, you know, like 6 years of like nothing big happening, no huge story, but just this consistent feeling.
Yeah.
That like you're in a room and you're not alone.
This presence, like watching, lurking.
Lurk, just peeking.
Yeah.
So for 6 years, nothing happened. But all of that changed one night when Nora's sister had a friend over. They were in the room just hanging out. And her sister started telling her friend about the general, just stories in general. I didn't mean to do that. And as her friend and her sister were getting into these stories, more and more freaked out with every single tale, they noticed that this horseshoe that was placed above the bedroom door started shaking. And it started shaking so violently that it actually fell off the wall. Nora's sister and her friend ran out of the room within seconds, screaming and absolutely refusing to go back in. Now, I think the horseshoe shaking and falling in itself is scary, but they were also hyping themselves up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like, you know, like the Ouija board, for instance, like when we were telling that episode and we were already freaked out.
Yeah.
And then we thought the cat was here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like just thinking the cat is there is one thing. But then when you're already in the mindset of spookiness, it's like every little...
Everything's amplified.
Real life jump scares.
Yeah.
They had a real life jump scare. Her dad did his best to be a horror movie dad and try and calm them down and tell them that, you know that the horseshoe was actually loose and then the air conditioner kicking on might have been what caused it to fall.
The horseshoe should do a little hanky-panky, wiggle all around, fell down.
Yeah. But they didn't believe him.
Duh.
They were still terrified. And I don't think he believed that either. I think I don't think it was that I don't believe you, horror movie dad. I think it was I'm trying to calm down my daughter and her friend. I don't want to have that phone conversation.
Yeah.
Hey, can you come pick up your daughter? The ghosts.
My house is super haunted.
Yeah. My horseshoe fell off the wall because we're in Tennessee. And now your daughter wants to come home because it's haunted. We should do a shirt, a horror movie dad shirt. I was just thinking about this earlier where it's like the dad has his arms crossed.
Yeah.
And it just says above it really big horror movie dad, but then it just has a bunch of quotes. Like, it's just the wind, or our house isn't haunted.
I thought you said behind it was just like a bunch of ghosts.
Yeah, it was the dog. You know, you could probably put like 15 quotes up there that, you know.
It's just, birds in the wall.
No one else is paying the mortgage. So at this point, like, that was the first time that anything physical has happened in that 6 years. And Nora was still really too young to understand why everybody was so freaked out and why everybody was so scared. At this point in time in Nora's life, the only peculiar memory she had was that she had an imaginary friend named Muffet.
Muffet.
And Nora claims that these paranormal experiences actually expanded beyond the family's house. And this is a quote from Nora. Quote, "We're not the only ones in our neighborhood to have this experience. Across the street from our house is a mansion that was a hospital during the Civil War. And our whole neighborhood was a battleground during the war. The whole mansion is haunted. The caretakers became family friends through the years and shared many of their experiences with feeling a presence in the mansion. Another neighbor, who likes to go on walks early in the morning before work, told us on many mornings he would see shadowy figures." Unquote. So it's like this idea that it's not a house. It's a neighborhood, like a haunted neighborhood. But it makes sense if, like, not the Indian burial ground that the town was built on, but the Civil War battlefield
town was built on. Those are so bloody that, like, there were literal rivers of blood after those.
It's disgusting. Yeah. And sad, but also disgusting.
Yeah, but it was, those battles were intense.
So eventually, Nora's dad decided to leave the realm of horror movie dad, and he reached out to a family friend that was a priest. And the priest told the family that some believe ghosts are souls that are stuck in purgatory, so he recommended that they start praying for the general soul. And that's what they did. And Nora claims that since praying for the general, her or the family have not seen the shadow entity since. And after that, they did their best to kind of let it rest. Like, not just the entity, but like the idea of the entity. They didn't talk about it. They didn't tell stories anymore. They didn't give any thoughts to it.
They didn't give any energy.
No energy. They gave no energy to it, but not in like a screw you away, but like a, you know, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, finality, donezo, one might say. But interestingly enough, one day, Nora and her family were hanging out, and their uncle was there who kind of prompted them to, like, you know, wasn't your place haunted? Wasn't something going on here? So it wasn't quite reluctantly, but they were like, oh, okay, we'll talk about it a little bit. So they did mention the general to the uncle, who is a major history buff like you, but he kind of treated it like a game. He was like, he was so into history and he was so into the Civil War that he wanted to hear about their ghost experiences so he could maybe pinpoint who it was, which is kind of ridiculous because there are so many people and they're not all going to be like the famous, like, was it Stonewall Jackson, you know, stuff like that. Robert E. Lee that war?
E. Lee, yeah.
Yeah, like, they're not all going to be Ulysses S. Grant, like presidents. Like, it's just, so it's funny. But then again, at the same time, it's just, you're sitting down with family having conversation, but he treated it like a game.
I mean, there are only so many generals, you know, from the war.
Really? And,
yeah, there's only so many. Like, there's probably a couple hundred, I would imagine.
Imagine him going through. That's like the ultimate, like that was Facebook creeping, but like ever ago.
Well, you got your A-list, like you said, Stonewall. The A-list. But I bet if you're that entrenched in it and like that into it, he probably goes down to like the C-list, the D-list. He knows all those.
They're like, well, he remembered me. So he was trying to figure out who it was. And a few days later, he shared that he actually found a soldier that died in a battlefield in their city that was a general. Do you know what his name was?
No, I don't.
General Moffat.
Oh!
Yeah. And so she said immediately Nora's parents looked at each other wide-eyed and they told her uncle, that was Nora's childhood imaginary friend.
Oh my god, that's a genuine reaction for me, by the way. Wow.
Yeah, I wish you could have seen, like, this is that, like, split second moment that I wish we were, like, a video podcast. Because, like, the realization and the connection, the synapses, and then the reaction that wow, Charlie just had.
That's crazy.
Excellent. I tried to find a general Moffat. I couldn't just by, like, Googling or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if you deep dive farther than I did. I did find a Navy, like, somebody that was in the United States Navy that was William Moffat, but he didn't die in that war.
Maybe in like a book. Maybe he's in a book.
Yeah.
Not you know, the internet.
Old like fashioned book.
Yeah.
What the hell is that thing? But that is Nora's story. That is our opening story. That is what I would title The General.
Wow. Good one.
Any thoughts? Because we probably won't get into that too much in the discussion.
Oh, I believe it 100%. The whole village area, they all experience hauntings. There's ghosts, like if you go out walking in the early morning mist, the name that she told the parents, the Muffet of her imaginary friends, happens to be the general that died, and they see a general. Oh, get out of here. That's too perfect.
It is almost too perfect. It's like that is cinematic. Like that is, it's like it's a plot device in a way where it, not maybe not plot device, but you know, it's like, it's good storytelling.
Yeah.
Like it was a seed planted.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes back full circle. It makes for a really good story. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because where it's like that almost makes it seem too much like a, you know, a fictional story. But then you combine that with like what I said earlier about how like the time span makes it feel real. Mm-hmm. Like things aren't always linear. It's not like, you know, on Monday and then it got heightened on Tuesday and then on Wednesday. And then the end of the movie is like Friday when all the shit hits the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Then this is like years of nothing happening. Like mm-hmm. it feels like a real story.
I do find it strange that the renovation didn't have any amp up. Like, it didn't build it up anymore.
Yeah, that's what. But then again, it's not like it was his house. It was the area where this guy died. Like, that's this house true. Probably wasn't around.
That's in true. The Civil War. The whole thing would have caused a stir, I guess.
Yeah. But, like, it blows my mind to think, like, I think when a place is haunted, it's like you leave and you're good. Obviously, like, demonic things, not the case. But with ghosts, you're like, you know, the house is haunted, you leave the house and you're good until you come back. But imagine walking around, and I guess it's this way with cemeteries, you know, if you believe in that. But imagine walking down the street and seeing a ghost. What?
Mm.
What?
Mm-mm. Well, how do you know it's a ghost? It's like transparency, right?
I guess. It's just you got that freaky-ass neighbor.
You saw a ghost, though.
Walking?
No, not walking, in the theater.
Yeah, but that, like, it's a confined place.
I guess that's
true. Like, it's where you expect it. It's like you have a bird cage and there's a bird inside.
Okay.
But you see birds outside too. That's a terrible analogy. It's just like
I understood what you're saying. Like a parrot. Like you don't see a parrot every day.
It's just it feels like it's not it feels so crazy to me. Like it feels like contained. Like ghosts should be contained in a way. And they're just like it's like a stray ghost. Right? Like it's mm-hmm. a stray animal ghost. You just but it's like it's a place you don't expect it to happen. It's like when you see somebody that you wouldn't expect to see somewhere. Like if you go to Target and you see somebody who doesn't live in this city, right? Like if you saw, go save Alex. If you saw Alex at a Target here in North Can, you'd be like, whoa, what are you doing
here? Why are you here?
Like I'm not bothered that I'm seeing you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I wasn't expecting you to be here.
And that's I
feel
a good
like
analogy.
That would be how I'd feel. I'd be like, wait a minute, I'm outside, bro. What are you doing? It's honestly how I feel about the weather. Sometimes, because like, when you think about the earth and how it's like we have climate control in here. Not mm-hmm. well, because it's hot as f***, but climate control.
Yeah.
And we live in houses, like our dwellings. And you leave and you are like, you are subject to the environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it crazy sometimes that you walk outside and it just feels like the temperature was made for humans, made for you?
Sometimes it's just perfect outside.
It blows my mind. Like when it's cold outside, I'm like, this feels right. Like I'm outside, there's no roof, there's no covering. So obviously we have atmosphere. This is a tangent, I apologize. But I've always thought this way, where it feels like when you go outside and it's the, like, there's a word that keeps slipping my mind. What is it called where you go outside, you're facing the elements?
Yeah.
That's right. You're facing the elements. It feels like when the world is cold, it makes sense because it's just emptiness. You know what I mean? Is this making any sense?
You definitely had it and definitely lost it.
Do you know what I'm saying though? Like,
yes.
The world is so large and it's so like, I don't want to say empty because there's atmosphere and stuff, but like you walk outside and there's just like, air, atmosphere, space. And the fact that it's not like cold, like the fact that it's comfortable or warm.
Mm, yes.
It doesn't like it doesn't make sense to me that it can be. I mean, it is, and I know why it is, but it blows my mind every time. With that said, let's move on to the next story. So the second story comes to us from Cindy Sophia, you might say, if you know what I mean, if you know, you know. And this is from California.
Okay.
It's about 30 minutes east of LA.
It's my relative's name is Cindy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's it spelled?
C-I.
No.
I didn't think this was her. I actually had no hesitation.
The only thing was like, don't say my last name and don't tell Charlie who I am. Like, okay, if you say so.
Wow.
So this is a collection of a bunch of spooky moments.
Okay, so this is like a montage.
Yeah.
Of life.
A montage of spooky life. A day in the life of Cindy. So she moved into her current home with her family when she was in the fifth grade. So we're starting in grade 5. Almost immediately, which if I, like, I can, I always try to find, like, the graphic, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I always try to find, like, and it's funny because it's going to be very similar to the one with the Thornton Heath. So I'll tell you first and then it'll make sense. You'll see it. So almost immediately they're checking out this new house, fifth grade, she's old enough, you know, it's not mm-hmm. like you're too young. Like this is a change in life.
Mm-hmm.
It is a moment. It's one of those, what is it called? Those milestones. But she's noticing something on this wooden garage door that leads into the kitchen. It's a mark. And at first, it's a little hard to tell exactly what this mark is. But upon closer inspection, she saw that it was a small, dark, reddish-brown child's handprint.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, reddish-brown?
Reddish.
Like blood?
Like blood.
Oh.
Yeah, like between 4 and 6, which I guess would be 5 years old. Little handprint.
Just that would be blood. 5, yeah.
So, again, and Cindy's young, like, she's just in fifth grade herself, so her mind and her imagination is going wild seeing this. Now, obviously, the blood and the fear part comes in, but it wasn't just being scared, because she used to actually joke about it to scare her dad's girlfriend's daughter, who was 2 years younger than Cindy.
Okay.
I don't know how old,
siblings.
How old are you in fifth grade?
10, 11.
Okay, so they're like 8, I guess. But I feel like that's already a little insight into Cindy's personality, right?
Yeah.
Like you see a child's handprint, and yes, there's that moment of like, this is kind of creepy, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I'm going to mess with my sister-in-law.
We're
not in law, I guess.
Sibling.
But they're not married.
No.
It's a dad's girlfriend's daughter.
Then nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. You're nothing to me.
Jeez.
So they go inside, they start divvying up bedrooms amongst everyone, and Cindy got a bedroom that she was told used to be a den where the previous owner would often relax, look out the window, and smoke cigarettes. And this was told to her from the family, the neighbors, mm-hmm. their neighbor's family. That's how she knew, otherwise, how else would she know? But they said that they would often just see her looking outside the window, smoking, having a good time.
Cindy?
The neighbor. No, the lady. The lady that, yeah,
gotcha.
that was in the house and then died.
Really funny.
as happens occasionally. Maybe because of the smoking, but maybe not.
Could be anything.
Meteor.
Smoking probably didn't help, though.
Donnie Darko, right? Just
a meteor?
No, it wasn't a meteor.
It was a plane.
Yeah, but you know. Maybe in this case, it was a meteor. We don't know.
Could have been anything. Cigarette ash.
Yep. But Cindy was told that she was a very nice old lady. But she didn't die in the house. She was taken away in the ambulance and she passed on the way to the hospital. Doesn't say if it was from a meteor.
No.
But, you know. So Cindy would often smell the scent of cigarettes, which seemed normal because she was assuming it was just in the carpet, in the walls.
Everywhere.
Smoke is everywhere. Yeah. So overall, Cindy describes herself as a pretty ordinary kid who liked to play outside all day. And then when the streetlights would come on, like, Hey Arnold, she would run home
mm-hmm.
and she'd play Xbox. She liked playing Modern Warfare 2 with her friends online.
Oof, that's aging me, but yes.
You know, what's interesting is that, like, that's like my dad's generation. Like, go play outside. And then once the streetlights come on, you know it's time to come home from supper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that wasn't... Was that your childhood?
Yeah.
What?
For sure.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, I play outside all the time.
Okay, maybe I'm just not. like your family wasn't like, oh, maybe Charlie will get kidnapped or murdered.
No, I lived in a not gated community, but it was like tight suburbanite. Like we knew all our neighbors.
But you didn't know which ones were the child kidnappers.
I guess. I'm hoping none of them were, actually.
Yeah, that's...
Actually, true. You know, if I had to bet, dude across the street.
There's a story behind that, isn't there?
Coyote Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom made up that Coyote Man so I wouldn't go in the woods.
Well, that's not... Yeah, that's kind of smart. Kept you out of the woods, right?
Mostly.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, what if, you know, meteor might hit you when you're outside?
I guess you could. You could always think that, though.
Yeah, you probably could. Even if the streetlights aren't on, you could get hit by a meteor.
Probably easier, actually.
But she had a chill life, right? Like, it was play all day, come back, do some Xbox. Everything was good. Everything was normal until it was time for her to go to sleep.
Okay.
Now, she never fought going to sleep. She never tried to stay up later than her parents wanted. Like, around that 9, 10 p.m., she was tired. She didn't fight it. She's like, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. And she'd make her way to her bedroom and get under the covers. But it was nightmares. Nonstop, consistent, vivid nightmares. Like, more vivid than she could even imagine. And it wasn't just what she was seeing, because it wasn't something that was visually striking to her. It was the feeling. Because every single time she got caught, it was like the feeling of being grabbed, the feeling of being cornered. It wasn't like the visual, it was the feeling, which is most of the case with nightmares. Like, when you start explaining a nightmare out loud, that's when it hits you.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, it wasn't that scary. But it's the feeling. So I think she just always woke up with this just absolute fear and dread that, like, she was going to get captured and grabbed and caught.
Yeah.
So she would wake up drenched in sweat, crying, screaming, or all three. However, she didn't tell anyone about these nightmares because, one, her older brother, who is about like 5 years older than her, she didn't really think he would care. Two, she didn't want to wake her grandma because she knew that she would think it was just a, quote, silly little nightmare. And three, Cindy's dad worked third shift as a police officer, and she was told to only call him while he was at work if it was a emergency.
I see.
And as freaked out as Cindy was about these nightmares and the feelings she was having, she had a hard time justifying that a nightmare was an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And Cindy's mom was not in the picture, as you could kind of tell by the dad's girlfriend's daughter.
Yeah, you know. We got that.
So this type of lifestyle of playing all day, video games at night, and then just absolute terror while trying to fall asleep went on for years off and on. Sometimes she would actually just sleep in the living room without telling anyone just to get mm-hmm. some type of peace.
Did that help?
Yes.
It did.
It did. At this point, you might go back and look at the name of the episode. But she noticed that when she was sleeping in the living room compared to the den, that the nightmares were significantly less frequent.
Mm.
But like I mentioned, she's kind of a skeptic a little
okay.
bit.
Okay.
So in her mind, it was like, okay, maybe I'm just playing too much COD, as she put it, which I always called a codfish sandwich. Whenever Tyler, whenever my buddy Tyler would be playing COD, like, you playing codfish? I don't know why.
Cause I don't know. It's easy.
It is easy. Thank you. The sandwich was the creative part.
I see. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you had a codfish sandwich?
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A good fried one.
Yeah. You can't have it grilled. Come on.
Right. I was just talking about chips, fish and chips to online on the
Omegle.
No.
That you just match with somebody like, hey, you like grilled fish? No. Or you like it fried and crispy and delicious?
When I was playing Fortnite, I was talking about
you've
fish
been
and
unpaired.
Chips. When I was playing Fortnite, I was talking about fish
okay.
and chips.
Okay. So in her mind, it's like, okay, this is really unusual. Me leaving this room that this old lady that died was smoking in.
Mm-hmm.
I always have nightmares in there, and when I'm not in there, it's fine. But maybe I'm just, you know, too much COD, over imagination, you know, that type of stimulus. Like, yeah, maybe it's just in my head. So, fast forward 5 years to Cindy being a sophomore in high school. At this point, her brother moved out. So, whether you want to consider it being paranormal or not, she jumped on the opportunity to have his bedroom. She's like, I'm out of here. I want this room. And her mm-hmm. reasoning in her head, front facing, whether to us or to herself. And by that, I mean, this was her main motive,
mm-hmm.
was that it had a closet.
Okay.
Because her room that she had was a den, didn't have a closet. Now, and that's what she wrote. And the reason I'm emphasizing that is you might suspect that she wanted to leave that room because of the nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
But what she wrote and what she told me in this story was because of the closet. Okay. So I'm assuming there might be an underlying thing with the nightmares because she was even taking measures to go sleep in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't what was told to me.
Okay.
That's me assuming.
Right. I would assume that too, but more space is always good because a den is basically just a glorified living room, right?
Yeah. Unless it is that skepticism where it's just like almost making a point to not leave. But anyway, so front facing main top of mind was I want to leave, take my brother's room because there's a closet. I think there's the underlying with the dreams. But anyway, mm-hmm. Yeah. So after a few weeks of being in this room, like the living room, no more nightmares, completely vanished, like almost immediately. Like, boom. No nightmares, new room, awesome closet. Everyone's happy, right?
Hopefully.
But around this time, her dad's girlfriend and her daughter moved in. And Cindy said, looking back, she knows that it wasn't a big deal at all. And like, you know, her dad was probably really happy and all that stuff. But being very transparent, at that point, she's sophomore, she's a teenager. Mm-hmm. So of course, she hated it and it was the end of the world.
Absolutely, because it's the end of the world in that situation when you were a teenager.
Absolutely. So she found herself getting in both petty and serious arguments with everyone, you know, her dad, her dad's girlfriend, the daughter, and it just got to really negative energy, negative vibes. So she decided that she was going to start spending more time next door at the neighbor's house instead. This is the family that had told her about the old lady in the window. Okay. And apparently she spent so much time at the neighbor's house that in her mind, she became like their unofficial fourth child.
Mm-hmm.
So her neighbors, a husband and wife, had two sons and one daughter. Cindy was closest to the daughter, who was actually in her early 20s. And at this time, it's kind of separated. Like, she got the new room as a sophomore, but where this story is taking place, it's a little bit of a transition. So she's like 17, 18.
Okay.
So this neighbor daughter is like 3 or 4 years older than her. Not really pertinent to the story, but now you know. But the more she spent time there, nothing really strange happened. Until she started spending the night. So they had a wine and movie night, which sounds amazing, by the way.
It does sound like, pretty good.
I think we should have
a wine and movie night.
Wine with our Netflix watch parties.
Yeah.
We could promote the wine and watch some great movies. We're watching, well, that'll be after this comes out. So I'm not even going to mention it. Did you try that Lost Trails yet, by the way?
I didn't try it yet.
It's delicious. I actually had some Lost Trails today. Kainuka. And yes, this is underage drinking. I'm not saying we're promoting underage drinking, right. But that's what's happening in this story.
Although, if you're with like I guess she's not with a guardian though, but
She's with older people.
Yeah,
and it's just wine. What could happen with wine?
Ooh, a lot of bad stuff.
I've been messed up on wine. I'll be honest. Yeah. So Cindy was a little wine sleepy, aka tipsy, and she started noticing strange things. So when she would spend the night at the neighbor's house, because she wasn't gonna walk home drunk. That's dangerous.
Next door?
Yeah. Yep. Nope. She decided to spend the night. And the neighbor's daughter, the one that she was closest to,
yeah.
had a bed that was large enough that they could very both comfortably sleep in it. And they would share that bed and she would sleep in that bedroom. And she said her friend, her neighbor would pass out almost instantly. But with it not being Cindy's bed or her actual home,
mm-hmm.
there's just that like little offness. Mm-hmm. So she couldn't just fall asleep. There was like that adjustment period. Which makes sense. Unless you're like intensely tired. I feel like there's always that. Unless she was wine tipsy, but I'm not.
I've been to your house when you lived in an apartment and I crashed so hard because I was so tired.
When was that?
When you lived in Timbertop.
Timbertop. It was so cheap.
Second apartment.
Oh, it was so cheap.
I crashed on that couch a couple times.
Yeah. So Cindy's laying there, right? Her neighbor's passed out. In one corner of the room was the bed. And across from it was this bookshelf. And then there's a dresser that wasn't too tall. It's about 3.5 feet tall. And there's a laundry basket that was a little bit shorter than that. And she's just looking around this room, taking it all in. And then she noticed it. Between the closet and this laundry basket is where almost immediately her attention diverted to. She noticed a very tall shadow figure. And not only was its presence noticeable, but she could feel its eyes on her. It wasn't random. It wasn't like a random ghost that you see walking by. It was intentional. This thing was watching Cindy. So just to make sure that she wasn't crazy, because remember, she's skeptical. She was looking all around the room. She was trying as hard as she could to get her eyes to adjust to the darkness, because in her mind, her eyes are playing tricks on her. So she's looking around. She's trying to get her eyes to adjust, but every time she looks back, it's clear as day. She's seeing this tall shadow figure. And to make it even more strange, that room had a large window where outside light was actually streaming in, which made that area even more visible. So it made less sense for her to be able to see the shadow figure if it was something else. It was something, it was its own mass, it was its own being, it was its own darkness.
I hate that.
Because you're in bed, like, either you can't leave, like, if you leave, you know, it's a process, you have to lift up the blankets.
Yeah.
You're probably not wearing what you want to be walking around in, so you have to, like, it's just, it is not good.
Now, is it scarier if it comes at you while you do that whole thing, or if it stays put and watches? If it starts to move.
I guess it's scarier if it comes at you, but I don't like it just watching. It's right. Like, it's almost like when you see a spider, for me, and you see it and it's like, I don't like that you're here, but as long as I know where you're at, I have a little bit of peace of mind. But then it's like, you turn to your left for a second, you look back and it's gone. And it's like, oh God. And then you just break your own neck. So that was that night. So nothing escalated beyond that, but still terrifying. And still, like, she had creepy experiences at her house, and now she's at the neighbor house and seeing stuff too. So as days and weeks passed, and it wasn't just the wine and movie nights anymore, she would consistently see this shadow figure staring at her while she tried to go to sleep. Now, she's used to this weird stuff because of her house, but, you know, this is neighbors, this is friends, you don't just shoot the breeze that kind of way. But still, Cindy mustered up the courage to ask her about this shadow figure. And when she did, her neighbor calmly and very matter-of-factly said, "Yup, that's the ghost."
Oh my God. You gotta put that in writing first.
You gotta let people know. This is a PSA to all of you out there. Listen, slumber parties, awesome. Wine and movie nights, awesome. If you have a haunted house and you have people coming over, spending the night, going to the bathroom on your third floor when it's dark and your nightlight is broken, any situation like that, if you have to go to the basement, if anybody's ever going to be alone in your house and your house is haunted, you have a duty, a American God-given duty, to let them know that your house is f***ed.
Doesn't matter where you are in the world.
Doesn't matter.
You have to tell them your American duty.
You have to. If you're in Australia, you gotta do it.
Yeah.
If you're in the UK, you gotta do it. What if you're in New York, Charlie?
You gotta do it.
What if you're in Tennessee?
You gotta do it.
Yes, you have to do it. Please, people, be kind, be respectful, let people know when your house is haunted. So she was surprised, obviously, by her friend, her neighbor's demeanor and chillness, but she decided, like, hey, if she's cool with it, then I'm going to be cool with it. You know, we're all cool here. We're cool. The ghost is cool. Neighbor's cool. We're all chill. And Cindy ended up asking the entire family, this whole neighbor family, about in general, about this ghost. And she found out that they all had their own stories with some type of ghost in the house. So the oldest brother said that he'd seen a full shadow figure man standing in a hallway. And she said that the brother yelled, "What the f***?" And he ran towards it, thinking that someone had broke in. And when he started running towards this shadow figure, this man, it took off running down the hallway. And then when he turned the corner to peer down the hallway, there was no one there. So he checked every room, but there was no one there. No intruder, no person, no burglar, nothing. So naturally, he was a little bit taken back. And when he sat down and he tried to remember what he saw, he realized that when he really thought about it, the man that he saw was dressed like a traditional Native American. And at that point, he figured, geez, that probably was a ghost. Which he thought, if it wanted to hurt him, it could have and would have, so it must be chill. The neighbor parents said that they confirmed that they fully believe the house is haunted, like 100% down with that, but they didn't have any specific or memorable stories. But they've lived there for 16 years, and they said, hey, you know what? The ghost must be friendly and harmless because nothing's happened yet.
Okay, it's a positive outlook, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. The only family member who didn't have a story was the youngest brother, who Cindy thought was a little bit happy-go-lucky and, like, just shrugs things off.
Okay,
so he's like, just like, no, it's probably this, or I don't worry about it, or maybe just not perceptive, like, if there was a ghost trying to get his attention.
Yeah.
He's got his AirPods in.
Or maybe he just doesn't have any sensitivity.
It's like a ghost, like, stomping around him in circles. It's like, whatever, man. Just gotta play my codfish.
Another earthquake in California.
So after hearing all these stories, all these opinions and thoughts about the ghosts, Cindy felt kind of validated, obviously, in what she saw when she was trying to go to sleep in the neighbor's room. So one day, Cindy decided to go over to their house, and they never locked the doors, and she's basically family. So she goes to the neighbor's house, opens the door, and just walks in and is like, I'm home.
Yeah.
But almost immediately, she noted that the house was eerily quiet. Because remember, this is like, I think it's two brothers and a sister.
Yeah.
Two brothers, sister, and a parent. And there was no one home. So it felt weird, but it was like more than that. It was like that silence. Like, not quiet, but like the lack of sound. Not the presence of silence, but the lack of sound. It's the same thing, but with different connotation.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So she walked over to the living room to see if somebody might have been napping on the couch, but there wasn't anyone there. So she started walking down the hall to go to each bedroom just to see if there's anybody with headphones in or watching TV, just locked in or anything like that. But again, she didn't see anyone. And after realizing that she was alone, she was startled by the living room stereo turning on by itself.
Oh my God.
And there was a few moments of like static, like the radio was searching for a station, and then it landed on an oldies 50s station, which she said is completely different than the normal pop or like 80s music that the family typically listened to. So despite searching the house and the stereo not being remote control operated, Cindy thought that maybe, just maybe, the neighbor's dad was home and he was in the backyard working. But when she went to the glass door, like one of those sliding glass doors to get to the back, she realized that it was locked from the inside, so there wasn't anyone out there. There was no way anybody could have went out there.
I see.
So she went back inside, turned off the stereo, and as she did, she heard someone walking down the hallway.
Gotta leave.
As you can guess, she went to investigate, and there was no one there.
Oh my God.
So at this point, after all that, Cindy finally accepted no one was home, and she was truly experiencing some of the ghost activity that the family had told her about. So she decided to leave, like you said. She's like, nope. Nerp, I'm out. So she's going to leave. She shuts the front door behind her. And immediately the family pulls in this family truck. And they're excited to see her. They're like, oh, hey, Cindy, what's up? What's going on? And Cindy already knew the answer, but she felt like she had to ask. So yeah. She said, were any of you home or inside just a few minutes ago? And they were like, no, you literally just saw us come in. And she just wanted to confirm, like, y'all ain't messing with me. There's no, like, family-wide prank or anything like that. And they were genuinely confused. So Cindy had to tell them about the stereo and the steps and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they laughed it off. And again, very matter-of-factly, were like, oh, that's just the ghost. And that's the kind of end of that story. So fast forward about 6 to 8 years. Cindy's 24 years old. She's returning from the army. And her grandmother had just passed away in hospice. So Cindy and her family, so we'll go back to her family, not the neighbors. So Cindy and her family went to the funeral and were coming home. And as they are walking up to their front door, out of nowhere, this white deflated balloon starts falling from the sky.
Oh, that's so random.
And it lands directly on like the front area by the door in front of them, literally like in front of their feet. This balloon just falls down. And they look at it, they pick it up, this white deflated balloon, and it has words on it. Even though it's kind of deflated, they can pull it out and read it. And it says, always in our hearts.
Oh my God.
So her entire family was obviously shocked and in disbelief, but they were certain it wasn't a coincidence. And they believe that this was a direct message from Cindy's grandmother telling them that she's okay and will always keep them in her heart, which is really nice.
Yeah.
But in the back of Cindy's mind, what is she?
skeptical.
She's skeptical. She's a skeptic. So she's like, you know, maybe there's a chance this was just an amazing miracle-like coincidence. So the next day, when Cindy was leaving for work, she noticed that the family's rose bush, which her grandmother took pride in taking care of, which had been dead for a couple years because her grandmother wasn't well enough to take care of it. In that rose bush that was mostly dead, there was one perfectly bloomed rose.
Wow.
So Cindy acknowledged the rose, smiled, and said to herself, okay, Grandma, I believe you now. A few years later, Cindy was hanging out with her neighbors at their house. It was Cindy, the sister that she used to have sleepovers with, her mom, Cindy's, or not, the neighbor's mom, and the neighbor's mom's friend. I know it's a lot, but, you know, stick with me here. So they were in the living room, they're just hanging out, playing some 80s music videos, probably on TV or whatever. And the way that Cindy was sitting, she could see the hallway door, like the doorway, I guess you just call it the hallway. And as she was talking to the neighbor's sister, she noticed something catch her eye. The neighbor was talking to her, so she had to like shift her attention, but it must have been like obvious that she saw something in her mind because she was trying to like play it off all cool. But between looking back and forth, the mother was like, what did you see? Because in their mind, like, this is ghost activity. Like, it's kind of like, what'd you do today, right? Like, It's not like a big thing. And Cindy told them that she saw a face-like thing peeping one eye around the corner of the doorway. And the face was incredibly pale, and there were dark circles around the eyes. She said that the best way she could describe it was almost like how you would imagine a decaying body, but really wrinkly. She said it looked familiar as far as human anatomy went, but unfamiliar in that it looked dead or almost like something not of this world.
I hate that.
See, that is my reaction too. I'm like, ugh. Like, shadow figures are one thing, and I don't particularly like shadow figures.
Yeah.
But something peeping around a corner, creeping at you, looking dead, looking like something not from this world.
With that face.
Ugh, I do not like it. I do not like it at all.
I hate that.
But her friend, and their mom just starts laughing. And they were very much on board with it just being, oh, that's the friendly ghost. It's cool. It's all good. I know. I'm like, ugh. But then the mom's friend literally said, oh, hell no. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So Cindy lied. She completely lied. And was like, oh, no. I'm just kidding. I'm just playing a prank because, you know, they talk about ghosts. Like, I didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. It's all good. And so the friend stayed. But I thought it was an interesting choice to lie for the sake of the friend. It's actually kind, yeah, I guess.
It is.
I have a question here that I wrote. Would you lie in that scenario? So if you had company over, right? So you're at your house, you have company over. Somebody you're not like super familiar with, you know, it's not like, you know, Matt or me. It's like somebody, you're making an impression.
Right.
And they come over and you see something scary. And they obviously have freaked out. Would you lie and say you were joking, or would you be honest and be like, no, there's some demon ass shit going on here?
I would lie.
Yeah.
I would lie.
I don't know what I would do.
I think I'd lie.
I don't know. If it was gonna ruin the night, I probably would lie. But I like, it's almost like including you in a moment. But some people aren't down with that.
Exactly. It seems like she wanted to bounce.
Yeah. So all of that is kind of like her main stories, and she closed it out by saying that she was telling her family all these stories for like the first time. Like, she was talking about the nightmares that she had, the shadow figures she would see staring at her when she spent the night at the neighbor's house, all those creepy paranormal experiences. I guess she told them about our podcast too.
Oh, cool.
But her dad went hardcore, hard body, traditional horror movie dad, and got angry and told Cindy that their house is not haunted, that she's just making this stuff up.
Damn.
Believing the Bizarre sucks. He didn't say that.
Yeah, it's implied.
We've had a couple 1-star reviews, and I'm not saying that it was her dad, but I'm also not saying it wasn't her dad. But
now you can make it up to us if he gets on and leaves a 5-star.
Yeah, just change it to, aw, man, that's great. But essentially that she's making it up, or at the very least, she's just bringing bad vibes from that neighbor's house. Damn. I like that he doesn't believe in ghosts, but he's cool with, like, there's vibes. Bad transferring vibes. Yeah,
yeah, well, he's Californian. So
here's the final quote from Cindy. Quote, I spoke about my nightmares, and I noticed that night that I started to smell cigarettes in my new bedroom. I also sleep with my windows open, so maybe my other neighbors might have been smoking cigarettes in the back. I don't know. it could just be a coincidence, but these are my stories. They don't all necessarily tie into one another, but I've never experienced unexplainable things elsewhere, like our first house before this one, or when I was in the army living in Texas, or even when we went overseas to Poland and Germany, living in these old-ass buildings. My friends and I even went into abandoned buildings in Poland, thinking we'd see a ghost or something, but never anything like that. But like I said, a lot of my stories are unrelated or standalone, and I'm very skeptic of all of them. But your most recent listener submission, Volume 3, if you want to know where we're at time-wise on this one, it motivated me. Plus, I've always tried to find logical reasons for these events, even though I love the idea of paranormal myself. I definitely don't want to experience it anymore. I like living my simple, uneventful life of work and school and sleep. Your guys' podcast is enough excitement for me. Unquote.
She's lucky she didn't see Nosferatu in Poland.
Yeah. Nosferatu. SpongeBob. So I appreciate the skepticism and the desire to find a logical reason, but her shit's haunted.
Yeah.
And that's facts.
The face.
Yeah. So with that said, let's go to the discussion. So before we get to the discussion, it is time that we stop, and we like to thank our newest patrons, who at the moment of this recording are Leah, Nat P, RW, Sarah, Colby, and Elias. Yeah, we had to look up Elias's name. Speaking of Elias, Charlie, why don't you tell Elias just a couple of things that they can look forward to now that they are a patron of Believing the Bizarre.
I am so glad you asked, Ashley, because Elias can experience, like, it's an all-expense-paid vacation, right? They can experience things called director's cuts, where we look back old episodes and comment on what was going on at those. Those are a lot of fun to do. They can experience quizzes. They can experience the games we like to play. Quizzes, Do You Believe the Bizarre?
Bizarre news.
Social media response. Lots of really cool things. And also, they can experience interactions with us. Like, we have a Google Hangout we do once a month. We have a movie we do once a month.
Monthly giveaways if you're part of our Patreon exclusive Discord. Merch, if you're in our $10 dedicated tier after being in for 3 months, you get a shirt that you can only get by being a dedicated tier member.
Just for being there.
Ringtone, wallpaper, so much bonus content over there on Patreon. So if you like the podcast and you want a little bit more, it's there waiting for you. But for now, let's get to the discussion. All right, Charlie. So ghost stories central. We're talking Cindy. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If you experienced everything that Cindy talked about, so nightmares, shadow figure, you know, creeping at you, walking around, stereos, you know, the grandmother thing was sweet. But I mean, that's still something there too. Mm-hmm. Eyes peeping of like pale looking, wrinkly.
I hate that last story terrifying. So much.
And there's no like climax either, which makes it feel so real to me.
Yeah.
It's not Hollywood. It's they look around the corner and that's it. It's done. Nothing, like no one blows up. You know, the sky doesn't start swirling. It just is.
Or it's still building.
Ooh. Yeah, we'll get back to you in like 6 more years. But let me ask you this, because she's still very skeptical. She still doesn't know how much she believes. Would you still be looking for logical explanations if all this happened to you? Or would you just accept that you experienced the paranormal?
I see to a point where you would want to comfort yourself in the logical, in the scientific, in the this is not supernatural. There's an explanation for this. But at a certain level, maybe it's the man in the corner staring at you. Maybe it's the face that looks undead peeping around the corner. Maybe it's somewhere in between. You have to admit there's something going on.
I think part of it for me would be the validation.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Because it's like it goes in the internal versus the external. The internal is her nightmares, her seeing the shadows, her hearing. You know, because nobody really experienced that stuff simultaneously with her. Mm-hmm. She explained it. And people were physically there. But yeah, it's the validation. It's like, it's almost like the last story you did where it's like the person was skeptical, but even though everybody in the family believed that the house was haunted. So it makes me think of that story where like everyone around them was a believer and they weren't.
Yeah.
But I feel like when you're experiencing these unusual things and then you have all these people telling you, oh yeah, that's a ghost. I think like, it's just validation. It's like for like writing, right? Like if you write and you never share with anyone, you'll never know how good you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like you might like it or you might hate it, but either way, you don't know how good of a writer you are. But if you send it to like 10 people and it's not just sugarcoating and they're like, no, this is really good. You're a really good writer. I like your prose, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's like, okay, maybe it's true. That's like,
it's the same thing.
And I appreciate the skepticism, but when you're experiencing the same thing that the neighbors are experiencing and they're telling you to your face, that's the ghost. Ha ha yeah. ha ha ha. It's a ghost. Now, I agree with you. The person creeping around the corner that looks dead, like a zombie, that feels different to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the friendly ghost I want in my house mm-mm. for 16 years.
Nope.
So here's another question for you about yeah. horror movie dad. Now, this could just be the way the story was presented to me. Like, I could be reading into it more than necessary, but I'm going to do that. When the grandmother's message came.
Yes.
And it fell down. I had the feeling, based on reading her response, her listener submission, that the entire family rallied around, this was grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, that's positive. It's not going to freak anyone out. It's not going to make anyone want to move. It's an easy thing that even if you don't buy it at face value, you can accept it, tell people you accept it, and move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, it's a message from grandma. We all feel a little better. Let's move on. It has different connotation. But at the same time, for him to accept it, that that is grandmother, hands down, from the afterlife, letting them know she's okay. But then to flip on Cindy and be like, you're wrong. Our house isn't haunted. There's no such thing as ghosts. It's just your negative vibes that you're bringing in. It's a little contradictory.
I think there's two things there. I think it could be, one, he wants to accept the good things, accept the like, positive messages. And two, it could be fear of what else is out there.
Yeah.
And also, I think there's two sides of them experiencing things in their own house. I don't know if the dad ever experienced anything. Maybe. But also, Cindy didn't experience things outside of that den.
Right. Right. It was just
that den. There's that handprint too, but.
That was like an eerie, it was almost like a red herring or foreshadowing that creepiness was going to happen. But there's like no, like I'm reading this listener submission for the first time, like, oh, when is the child ghost going to come? Never comes.
Nothing.
Which makes it feel real to me because it's like, there's no perfect dots.
Right. There's like, I want to know what else is up with that. With the nightmares. Actually,
yeah.
We don't know actually what was in the nightmares. She just knew they were vivid.
It was a feeling. It was more of a feeling.
Yeah.
But I love that it's not perfect.
It's
not cinematic. It's not like the General Moffat one almost is like too, it's too good of a story. I still really believe it.
Yeah.
But it's too good of a story. What stood out to you from this episode?
I think I stated it already. The face.
Little kid peeking.
The thing
peeking.
I don't know if that was a little kid or what it was. But it was trying to put on the persona. We've said this before. What's scarier? Something doing an impression perfectly or doing an impression poorly?
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah, I don't like it. It reminds me of the haunted doll head.
Yeah.
When she saw like around the window, mm-hmm. like peeking in.
The boy.
Little boy, yeah. I don't know why. Cindy didn't say that this was a boy. That's just like almost what my mind pictured. But definitely creepy, but it's crazy to, like, imagine seeing that, and then the family's like, oh, haha.
I can't imagine laughing after that.
But then again, it could be a miscommunication. Like, it might not have been, well, she described it very, very well.
Maybe she didn't at the moment.
Maybe. Maybe it was, like, lying. But I could see why the friend was like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
I am out. Now, that'd be rough, where she's like, no, I'm just kidding. It's fine. I was a prank. And then the friend goes to the bathroom, and then in the mirror behind her, oh.
Bro.
I'd be so angry. Be like, you were not pranking. You were not joking. This house is haunted. Remember my PSA, y'all.
You got to do it.
Your moral duty.
Your American moral duty.
So I give it a believable. I believe in ghosts. Nothing feels, I mean, it's all extraordinary, but nothing is remarkably extraordinary. It doesn't feel like a Hollywood movie. It is little snippets of her whole life, and none of it is like too cinematic. It literally feels like different moments and times and just experiencing little things in the moment.
I'm curious why it is only those two houses.
Well, it's not like she's been to every house, knock on the door. Like, may I come in and experience your ghost?
No, but everywhere else she's been, like in Texas, in Poland, she's not experienced anything else.
Doesn't that make it seem more real, though?
Why?
Because that means those places are haunted. It's not like it's not like following her.
Right.
It's not like she's so sensitive that everywhere she goes, she experiences or draws ghosts. It's like to me, if she experienced horror stuff everywhere, the argument would be that she is very susceptible to it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she's saying like, listen, my life isn't all about paranormal. Mm-hmm. Like I play video games. I play outside. I went to war. It was all not all good, but you know, like it. This doesn't define my life. These are small snippets throughout my lifetime that are paranormal, but they're located in those places. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that's it. Doesn't dilute it at all. It's interesting. I believe it 100%. I was just throwing that out there.
No, it's definitely good to point out because there are. It'd be like if you go to a cemetery and you don't experience anything, but then you're like in an Uber car and you see like somebody sitting next to you, and then there's someone there. Oh, that would be like claustrophobic.
I've heard a story like that.
What?
I was on Scared to Death.
Ugh. Do you get charged for that? 3 stars. Uber. This is the second time we've given a fake Uber a star rating in back-to-back episodes.
Oh, well.
No. Yeah. Was it last? Yeah, it was last episode.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was.
Yeah. But anyway, those are 2 believables for Cindy's story. We were really fast, but I think we both give Nora a believable as well. We believe in ghosts. If you haven't caught on yet, as long as you're, there's not like stuff.
It's not like too fishy.
Yeah, one fishy's okay. So that is the haunted den. It was kind of hard to find an overarching. Probably should have been something about neighborhoods because it was both of them had a neighborhood element to it.
Mr. Rogers' haunted neighborhood.
Be my friend.
Won't you be my neighbor?
But yeah, so those are our stories. Remember, if you have a scary story, whether it's like one moment in time or it's your whole life of freaking ghosts and spooky stuff, hit us up, go to believingthebizarre.com, submit your experience, please, without lying as much. I hate that I have to say without lying, and I've never really accused anyone of lying.
No.
But it feels good to say, you know, as much detail as possible. The more detail, the better. Don't be like, I'm sorry, this is so long. Make it longer. I mm-hmm. dare you. Add another paragraph in there.
It's absolutely fine.
Did you ever make your periods bigger to make your page longer?
In my life?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
It's fun fact, kids. If you make your text 12-point font, but you make your periods like 16 font,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't change it up a lot.
Little bit.
Maybe like a fourth of a page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy.
It helps if you're hitting like a 12-page deadline.
Yeah. I wonder if the teachers have like, man, I wish I had Grammarly back in high school.
All right.
If I had Grammarly back then, jeez. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to let us know how you're feeling about it, well, first of all, immediately, very immediately, you know, pushing that immediacy, if you want to talk about it, we will be on Twitch tonight, August 2nd at 8 p.m. Eastern time for about a half hour, 45 minutes. Jump on, tell us your thoughts. You know, why was she skeptical? What was that creature, that weird ghosty thing peeking around the corner? How do you feel about the general? Jump on. We'll talk about it live. Respond to comments. Check that out. But in general, if you're that's the second time. If you're enjoying the podcast or you want to let us know how you feel about it, go to Apple. Leave us a 5-star review. Say what you're thinking. Aw, man, that's great. Or if you're listening on Spotify, like we know you are, just hit that 5-star and go about your day.
Yeah. And if you want even more of the podcast, like we said earlier, you can go down Patreon and find a lot more from us. It's a lot of fun bonus content with producer Ben and myself and Tyler.
That is right. But as always, thank you so much for listening. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
The podcast, as bizarre as you are.
Welcome. Yes. Oh, that's the blooper at the end right there.
Damn it.
That's okay. The ending blooper.